Good afternoon. This is the professor, Dr. Ron Daniels, president of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century, and distinguished lecturer emeritus from York College, City University of New York. I welcome you to this December 7th, 2020 coronavirus era edition of Vantage Point. Here on 99.5 FM, that's WBAI on the Pacifica Network in collaboration with ycradio.org. That's right, the York College internet community, internet radio community is connected to this conversation. Well, today we'll have our monthly State of Newark report. The Honorable Raz J. Baraka will be joining us shortly to talk about a bunch of things in relationship to the virus and whatnot. A lot going on, not only in Newark, but around the country. But quickly, let me just point out again and ask people to practice discipline. We need shared values. We need to be in a we, us, and our mode, as opposed to me, myself, and I mode. It's not just about you. If it were for you, I mean, I would feel for you. I mean, you want to go somewhere and just, you know, as the old folks say, commit sideways, that's one thing. But it's about your family. It's about people who are around you. And it's about those frontline nurses and doctors and essential workers who are bearing the brunt of this. My behavior, if I'm acting irresponsibly and recklessly, is impacting them. And we don't want that to happen. This virus is deadly serious. I follow basketball. It's a great basketball player, Minnesota Timberwolves, called Anthony Towns. They call him Cat. Seeing him grieving, having lost seven members of his family, So we need to just be disciplined and hold on, and things are going to get better because we are going to make them better. In Kwanzaa terms, we call it Ujima, collective work and responsibility. If we work together, we're going to make this happen. Just quickly want to remind you that we have a community care listening line. By we, I mean the Institute of the Black World 21st Century's Black Family Summit. That listening line is designed to have culturally appropriate listeners who are there if you're feeling anxiety, if there are issues that are occurring, people are feeling suicidal, domestic violence, child abuse, or just feeling just anxious because of this virus, this pandemic. You know, it is causing a lot of people, understandably, to feel very anxious. Frontline worker, the same thing. You can call 877-827-6677, 877-827-6677, and somebody will be there, a culturally appropriate, trained social worker, psychologist, psychiatrist, will be there to listen and then refer you to services if you desire the same. Again, 877-827-6677 is the line to call. Well, we're delighted to have joining us once again for our monthly State of Newark report, the Honorable Raz J. Baraka. I must say that we send out a promo with different images of the mayor when we do this, and we send this out all across the country, and I was struck by one that we sent out this time and had a picture of Common, he and Common together. I don't remember, I don't know the occasion, I did sort of dig into that, but what I was struck by is the slogan, which has me be very, very supportive of his administration and what he stands for, because it's for participation, it's about the engagement of folk. And on the t-shirt, you'll see, we are Newark. Not me is Newark, as in this a certain person we know out there. We are Newark. I think that is such an incredible way of looking at the way in which the Honorable Raz J. Baraka is conducting his administration. Mayor Baraka, welcome again to Vantage Point.
Good evening, man. Always a pleasure.
All right. Well, yeah, everything, a lot to talk about in terms of the coronavirus and the pandemic. Just want to have you share first and foremost, you know, what is happening in Newark and what additional steps have you had to take in order to try to control, to get a handle on this latest surge of in the pandemic?
Yeah, we have been. You're right. It's a surge. I mean, New Jersey is probably at the highest that it's ever been in since the beginning of the pandemic. They recorded probably the highest number of cases ever since we've been in this a couple of days ago. So it is surging. Newark numbers were incredibly high. They went down a little, but we still have high numbers. We had a 10-day kind of a stay-at-home order during the right after Thanksgiving, and the logic behind that was, you know, people were obviously going to do what they wanted to do after we, and a lot of people did the right thing, though. You know, people went out of town, they visited people, they did all kinds of other things, and we wanted them to, when they return, to shelter in place for at least, you know, 6 or 7 days, which the CDC is saying now is the time needed if you are, in fact, infected, that you need at least 7 days of quarantine. So we did 10. And, you know, we hopefully have reduced, you know, people's ability to come back and spread it even further or do the things that after they finished doing things that they were actually told not to do, they did it when they came back, that it did not have the impact, the negative impact that we thought it may have. So we did that for 10 days. We also have generally closed all our businesses earlier than normally. We close at like 8 o'clock now. In certain parts of the city, we try to stop movement in certain parts of the city where the pandemic is totally out of control. There are parts of the city where the pandemic, the infection rate was up to 50%.
Wow. It's very, very, very difficult. Mayor Baraka, how difficult is it to get people to hold the line? And I'm using the phrase that you often use. You have a radio show or a communications vehicle that has that same phrase. When there are such contradictory messages coming, and quite frankly, behavior coming from the top, so to speak, from the recently defeated president of the United States.
Well, it's very difficult, not just the president, but different governors, you know, and then there's different ideas about how this should be dealt with. There's no like clear pathway, no directions, no manual from the federal government, even from the state, to say this is what we need to do consistently. Because it's all over the place and we're jumping around, it makes me believe that, A, it is not as serious as people are saying, or B, we just don't know what we're doing. And it's difficult in cities like Newark and cities that look like mine demographically, because we just don't have the same opportunity to quarantine, social distance as other cities do. So when it comes here, it ravages many of us. It just doesn't deal with one family or one person. You know, can get to like 20, 30 people from one person. So
right,
we are very cautious on our side, and we just constantly put messaging out. We have to put our own messaging out. That's what we've been doing. And it's hard, you know, it's hard because of the mixed messages. And plus, because, you know, you African-American mayors, unfortunately, in these communities with little resources that we have in these neighborhoods and communities. Also, you know, we don't have the generally have the press on our side. We generally don't have the organs of the media on our side to push our messaging out. In fact, they're constantly trying to question, shoot down, rip up our messages. So we have to fight against that as well.
Well, Mayor Baraka, I know that there's some other things that you've done that's there, that's in your city. You do have a rapid testing program, I understand, which is great. I guess a 15-minute rapid test that people can also get in order to help at least find out the depth and scope of the crisis.
Yep, we have a 15-minute test that rapid test that we're given to folks in the city, to employees before they come back to work. All of these things we advocate that you take the 15-minute one, but you also take the regular PCR test that goes to the lab as well. So we are encouraging people to do that. We actually have a testing going on in City Hall tomorrow.
Right. And speaking of the difficulty, I heard you talk about businesses and the strain on businesses. And, you know, but it seems that your administration is trying to do everything it possibly can to aid these businesses. I understand you've allocated an additional, what is it, $4 million or so dollars to try to, you know, help these businesses out.
Yep. Businesses and folks that are like delinquent on their rent, you know, as well. We're trying to, this is our third time finding money and putting it out for that. And we're going to continue to do that as long as we must. But it's still not a lot, you know, because considering the amount of people that's in need, we need more. And so ultimately, cities should really not be responsible for this, right? And that is what the case has been for most of these problems that we've been enduring in these cities for decades. Like, the city really shouldn't be responsible, at least shouldn't be the primary responsibility for this. The federal government should really step in, because they have, that's where the resources are. That's where the resources are. And they should step in and demand, even in the corporate side, that these people give and do more. We need millions and millions of dollars, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars to deal with the issues that go on in these communities.
And that leads me, Mayor, to a kind of conversation that I wanted to have with you in part, because, you know, we have folks who, and I understand it, because this society does not encourage us to become involved. They really try to, it claims to be a democracy, and yet it makes it difficult to vote, and it does all kind of things that really tends to have people be non-participatory. But even among some of our more erudite and sort of more, you know, some of my more intellectually sophisticated folks, there's this argument that goes down about these, how these different administrations actually don't make a difference. And I keep continue to emphasize the whole question of what happens and what matters on the ground to people. I remember a speech you made one time, and you were talking about the whole question of healthcare, and some people were not satisfied with the maximum. And you pointed out, well, a lot of the people who object already have healthcare. You know what I mean? So they can afford to have this kind of ideological position. And I only mention that because you're talking about right now the needs that are, that cities have. And there's to me, a kind of contrast between the existing administration and what is being, I mean, the kind of fight that's being put up for the Heroes Act and the back and forth. And it just seems that there's a difference that people should be able to discern. I mean, for example, it seems like these Republicans are trying, they're more interested in protecting their corporations with liability to make sure they can do whatever the hell they please and get away with it. Whereas it seems at least there's a political party that's, which ain't any revolutionary party, but it's fighting to get like more money to people. And so I just wish you'd kind of comment a bit about the differences there.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a lazy analysis when people try to make, when they say, Biden and Trump are the same. That's completely different. I remember I was at a thing with Al Sharpton, the National Network conference, and a guy got up in the audience and said, President Obama is the same as George Bush. You know, I not only is that inaccurate, it's a lazy analysis, and it confuses people. And when you don't have a correct analysis like that, it kind of, you put obstacles in your own ability to organize people, right, and bring people together. It's clear that these people don't, they may not believe or think what you believe and think in its entirety, but they are better than what we have, and they're a step forward. You know, I think it's forward ever, backward never. So you want to march forward, and hopefully push to get people to what it is that you believe and think, and that's important. The increase in minimum wage is it sounds like a simple fight, but that's a huge difference, a huge gap. Making sure that everybody has health care, that's a huge gap. Even the Obamacare, from what they have, is a huge gap in between that. Yeah, is a huge gap in the ideology and policy around higher education and making education affordable, right? At least people are beginning to address the wealth gap, beginning to talk about inequity and the wealth and the wealth gap in this country. to give us a platform to push even further. So these are things that will not and are not going to be discussed under the Trump administration. In fact, not even not discussed, they're going to be pushed back on. You know, they're going to be outright say this is not right. But, you know, on the other side of it, I think people, they believe that that our folks are being duped, and that's the problem. They have a low kind of expectation of the people, and that in and of itself is a wrong way to organize folks. They believe the only way you're going to get people organized is by beating them, right? And so the worse the situation is, or the people say, we want Trump to be there, because if he's there, then people will get so angry that they'll get organized. But history is not, it's not proving that out, right? The only thing that organized people are people who organize them, right? That's it. And if you don't have the stomach or the patience to organize your own people or people in your community, you shouldn't be in this. It's a protracted kind of fight. It's not like overnight. And, you know, if you beat people down too bad, then they lose hope. And when folks lose hope, they lose fight.
Right. That's why I often say people think that when Reverend Jesse Jackson says keep hope alive, it sounds like a trite phrase. But in reality, no real reform or revolutionary movement has been led by a hopeless people. Hope is an optimism, and the belief that the future can be better if I do work and engage is one of the ingredients for successful reform and revolutionary processes.
Why would you fight a fight that you thought you couldn't win?
Sort of switching back to the, because this is all related, because there's so much that is COVID dominant. The issue of schools, I just want to wonder how you stand on that. I mean, this was a big debate over in New York between the governor and the mayor about the schools closing. Should they have closed? Were they closed prematurely and they're now being reopened? What was the situation over in Newark and in the state of New Jersey? What was the posture, and what do you think is the appropriate approach to talking about keeping the schools open or closed, or what's your posture?
The schools have been virtual in Newark since the beginning of the pandemic, and in many cities across the state. Some cities opened up and they wind up closing again because of the infection rate was growing in the schools. I mean, data is showing now that, like, younger kids, the infection is not moving as fast or as rapidly or growing in younger kids as much as it is everybody else, like elementary age kids, as it is everybody else. The problem is that people bring it into the school, right? And I would imagine the younger kids don't have the infection because they're not out, right? They're not out in stores and supermarkets, and not going to parties and restaurants and all these other places where people are. So they basically kind of separated from a lot of that stuff. But people bring it into the school, adults, custodians, cafeteria workers, teachers, they bring it into the school, which is how it is transmitted in there. And we really have to be cautious. And I would say wait until the infection rate in your community is down to a point where you feel safe to do that, and make sure you have proper protocols in place to not just separate children from the children, but separate children from the adults, other adults in that building who may easily transmit it to them. So, I mean, that's probably the more important thing, to make sure that the adults are not bringing it in the building and creating the atmosphere where the virus is spreading.
Right. Another big question, big and potential challenge, particularly for Black and brown communities, is the vaccinations. Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx, and others, you know, are saying, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. There are two or three vaccines that, in fact, some of them may even begin to be administered within the next 2 weeks, actually. Yeah. And yet, you know, there's just really reluctance in Black and brown communities, and necessarily, and I'm saying understandably, because of some of the things that have gone down, the Tuskegee experiments, the whole transmitting deliberately smallpox to Native Americans to see what the hell would happen, all these kind of things. So I know in your city, you're trying to educate people about the vaccines. I think I saw something in the newsletter about, you know, seminars, symposiums, educations to try to get people to understand what these vaccines are about. So could you talk to us about this? This is a big, if people aren't going to take the vaccine, then it's sort of like irrelevant. It's like meaningless.
Absolutely. You're right. If no one takes it. And we're finding out now that these folks had this vaccine in January, right? So that the first kind of doctor that came out of Wuhan, who had chronicled this, helped pass that code along to people, and they started, you know, developing that at the National Institute of Health months and months ago. But you're right that we need education on it, because right now people are governed by their fears. They're governed by social media. They're governed by people who don't even put a name or a face on their page, and they're listening to people who can't even research and back up what it is that they're saying. And so, like I told people on my live, and I'll say it again tonight, look, my job is to get you the information so that you can make a informed decision for yourself and for your family and for your community based on real data, not based on, you know, what people are telling you to drive you to their page or likes or create controversy. You need to make a decision based on information, if this is going to be helpful or not, or if it's worth us, you know, because we're in a rock and a hard place in our community, right? So we're dying the most, we're getting it the most, and then we're afraid to take it. So we're the least, when they do the polls, we're the least group of people that will least likely take the vaccine, and we're the group of people that are most likely to catch the virus.
Right.
Right, so we're in a tenuous situation here, man. And so that's why we have to have the kind of education that's necessary right now.
Let me ask you this. Is there any possibility, because I know you have relationships with a lot of the mayors across the state, African-American mayors, but others for that matter. Is there any possibility that some of the mayors will get together and do a public taking of the test as one way of trying to convince our folks that it's safe once you're convinced that it's safe? Because obviously people got to look carefully at this, at the science and the data.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's what I'm doing now, looking at the science and data. I'm on a call. I told people I was quiet on the first call because I was getting the same information they were getting. I wanted to get information from the epidemiologists, the doctors, the, you know, folks that were on a call. And we're going to keep doing those. And then I'm become, you know, more vocal about what it is that I believe and think. And, you know, if necessary, I'll take the vaccine before everybody else publicly so people can see and even chronicle it and so they can see what happens.
Right, right. Well, that's going to be important because, like you said before, we're in a rock and a hard place. I know last week on my show when we opened it up, almost nobody was prepared to take the vaccine. And I understand it because we've just been victimized over and over and over again. As we conclude, Mayor Baraka, a couple of points. One, the holiday season is coming. It was very hard. You know, they asked people to stay at home. People decided that they wouldn't. They moved anyway. I understand that we haven't. We're about to get the surge from that because, again, you know, I try to do whatever little I can with my show as well to get people to understand that it's really not about you individually. If you individually want to, you know, get the virus, that's fine. And the other thing I think people are not aware of, a good 30% of the people who get the virus and recover don't really fully recover. It damages their organs. I mean, it makes you have permanent damage, you know, and it's just, this is like something we have never, ever seen in our lifetime. So I'm just wondering what your word is to our audience as they get ready for the big one, the major holiday season coming up with, you know, Christmas and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and whatever.
Yep. We are telling people ultimately, you know, we can't practice these holidays the same way we did in the past. And that, like even during Thanksgiving, we was telling people to minimize the number of people that are you around. It should be your immediate household, cancel the travel, all the other things that you normally did. It's best to take a break this holiday season so you can have another one.
Right.
And so your loved ones can have another one. That's the important message that we're trying to get out to people, you know, that we have to have some level of discipline in this and get us through this part of it so that, you know, we could have a better year next year.
Right. And Mayor Baraka, I was noticing as I looked at this week in Newark, something that you're putting together on December 30th, like for you to share to the audience. It sounds like such a collective, wonderful idea, because that's what I keep trying to talk to people about, is the whole notion of shared values, which I think really is just really missing. Not entirely. Obviously, you have people, you know, who do get it, but there's a strain and streak within the United States that really creates problems. And let me just quickly say too, it's one of the you know, people always tout American exceptionalism, how great this country is, and there's no doubt that it is a great country, but that's sort of beside the point. And one day last week, I mean, there was maybe 2,700 people who died. And it was pointed out that was more people in one day than the whole nation of Japan has suffered in the whole pandemic. That across the world, other nations and people are working together to control this. They are, quote unquote, holding the line. So I know you have this wonderful celebration on December 30th that I wish you would share it. I find it very impressive, something that you're going to be, your administration is sponsoring on the 30th of December.
Yeah, we are, you know, we're trying to have a huge citywide memorial for all of the people we've lost during COVID. You know, we are over 700 people in the city of Newark lost, you know, this year. We're going to come out, light a candle for them all over the city of Newark. We're going to let balloons go. And we know that there are people who celebrate Christmas and the lights and they put things up. And we're asking them to do that this year in honor of the families who have lost loved ones during this time, right? We're going to do that. It's our, you know, our way to pay homage to those who we lost during this battle, because it was a battle, and recognizing too the people who had it and beat it and was victorious.
So it's called December 30th, Lights to Remember. Is there a specific time that people are supposed to come out and to do this?
Yeah, 8 p.m. 8 p.m. We're all coming out at 8 p.m. on our porches or in front of our places of residence with a candle. We're letting balloons go at City Hall. We're asking people if they can let balloons go in their neighborhood as well and put their lights up. We're doing all of that across the city.
Right. Well, Mayor Baraka, thank you again for coming, for being here for the monthly State of Newark report and much more, because you share a lot of information about what's happening across the country. We didn't get a chance really to talk about the Biden Harris at transition, but we sort of touched on it a little bit in terms of the differences of approaches. But we'd really appreciate you coming on and sharing this information and really appreciate your leadership on these issues.
You got it. Thank you for having me, man.
All right. Okay. Mayor Ryan J. Baraka, again, our monthly State of Newark report. We covered a lot of ground and, you know, I am just delighted and honored really to have this brother, really. He is a brother, but he is the Honorable Mayor Ryan J. Baraka for what he stands for and what his administration stands for. And for those of us who saw the promo we put out, again, you know, he's wearing a T-shirt. He's standing with Common. They're at some event. I should have really asked him about that. But what the event says is, we are Newark. And that's the concept we have to get through our heads. This is not a heroic single person act. That the question of governance is it should be we the people. But in this country, you know, it's an oligarchy. There's a whole bunches of other issues. But it does not mean that we cannot and have not, you know, made progress. But the struggle is far, far, far from over in terms of the kind of transformative politics we need to put forward. It is protracted. And, of course, what we see in the city of Newark are efforts incrementally and through models of work to try to showcase what the future could look like. But that future is about we. It's about we, us, and our, not about me, myself, and I. It's not a singular heroic act. Well, we're going to open up our phones now to for people to call in, and there are several questions we want to pose. You may want to comment on anything the mayor had to say, for that matter. This is the professor on the soapbox segment, as we call it, for our audience to call in 212-209-2881, 212-209-2881. I'm wondering what our audience thinks about schools. Should they be open? Should not they, or not? What kind of difficulties does this sort of pose? There was a debate in the city of New York between the governor and the mayor, and some people thought that maybe the mayor closed the schools down too soon, that this 3% threshold was maybe too low. Maybe it should have been 5% or 5%. The one thing we can say is, as bad as it is in New York, some of the, at least my opinion, the measures that were taken earlier have at least kept it reasonably below what we're seeing all across the country in many respects. So I'd be very interested in your opinion about the schools. But beyond that, obviously, there are other issues to be discussed as well. Your ideas about how we can best control this virus and this pandemic. Are there suggestions that you would make that you think would in fact be helpful in that regard? And, you know, plans for the holiday season. Are there things that you are doing with your family that you feel will be safe and helpful, again, as relates to this pandemic? And another question I'd like to throw out, there's a whole bunch of them, I guess, for people to think about, is climate change. I was looking at a program the other day, I guess it was the Secretary General of the UN with another report, not only talking about climate change in terms of global warming and all that, but there's a relationship between this global warming and the unleashing of new viruses that are just sort of just being released. They talked about the whole, the Siberian, in Siberia, they have this I don't know what how to describe it, but I guess there's a lot of just frozen territory that is now prematurely melting. We know that the North Pole and the Arctic Circle, Antarctic Circle, all prematurely now melting. And so they're saying that this is just, not only is it the storms and the fires and the and whole sections of the world that are going to be subsumed, but it is the unleashing of these viruses that is also something that I had not thought about. That's a problem as well. 212-209-2881, 212-209-2881. We have open lines right now. You can get in. We have about 20 minutes or so. We can get probably maybe 10 or 12 people in if we do our short rapid fire conversation on these issues. But that's another issue, by the way, as we were talking to the mayor about the differences between administrations and differences between parties. A drastically different approach from Agent Orange and his adherents to even the most moderate elements, the most moderate elements within the Democratic Party in terms of at least dealing with climate change. And some people are much more, but with me, I agree. I'm in favor of the Green New Deal. I mean, the Movement for Black Lives is getting ready to come out with a red, black, and green New Deal, which will make sure that it's will be approached through the lens of people of color, black people in particular. So I'm down with that proposition as well. But there is a, you got climate deniers, people who are just taking off all the regulations, acting recklessly. I mean, just recklessly in terms of treating the environment. And certainly people of African descent and Native people all have a different view of Earth Mother, of the Earth, that you cannot destroy the Earth, that in the environment, it will strike back. 212-209-2881, 212-209, 0928-0928-0928-881. Again, we have open lines available to you right now to call in and to give us your perspective on any of these questions. And again, very delighted to have had the mayor on to talk about a number of these issues. The vaccine is obviously something that people have been concerned about. He said we're in a rock, between a rock and a hard place in that regard, but he'll be looking at the science. A number of people are looking at the science. I know within the Institute of the Black World 21st Century, we are doing likewise, posting information on the website. The Samuel DeWitt Proctor Conference has established a bioethics commission where there'll be notable African-American doctors and scientists who will be rendering their judgments and opinions on these vaccines, because at the end of the day, we are the ones who are being hit hardest. More people being infected, more people dying, and even when we survive, again, it is a survival rate where at least 30% of the people, sometimes even higher, maintain permanent kind of damage. Again, people can call it at 212-209-2881. 212-209-2881.
No, Professor. 212-209-2877.
Oh, I'm giving out the wrong number. Lord, have mercy. I'm looking at the audience. I'm looking at the guest line. I'm sorry. No wonder. 212-209-2877. I was rescued. I was wondering what was going on here. 212-209-2877. The audience probably already knows that number. 212-209-2877. Please give us a call. I got all these numbers across my working sheet here, my pledge line, my guest line, and every now and then I have a faux pas on that. 212-209-2877. In the interim, we also just remind you of the Community Cares Listening Line. The Community Cares Listening Line, where if you're feeling stressed, anxious, there are issues going on in the household, domestic violence, alcohol abuse, suicidal tendencies, any of these kinds of things, you can call, or just feeling just needing to talk to somebody, just to talk to somebody. You can do that at 877-827-6677, 877-827-6677. The other thing, let me just quickly also say that we also need to be able to continue to do this kind of programming across the dial, the rich diversity of programming here at WBAI. And that means that one way to do that is through WBAI Buddies. And you're hearing this across the line, across the board, because we need folk to become sustaining contributors, people whom we know will give at least $10 a month, $120 per year. You can do more. I am a WBAI Buddies, and I know we do have people out there because I've met people who have said so. We need to be in a position to have as many WBAI Buddies as possible. There has been an effort to, instead of having just straight up every month, all day long, pledging, the management has worked with us and with the producers to create a scenario where you don't hear constant appealing for pledges and so forth. But that has to work. And one of the ways that it would work is if we can get people to become WBAI Buddies and to respond to those programs that are coming on in different ways. For example, I will not be on next week because next week is a program, my program, that space will be devoted to a special appeal, listening to those appeals and respond accordingly. 212-209-2877. I finally got it right. 212-209-2877. Let's go to our listening audience. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Good afternoon, Dr. Daniel.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Dr. Nur Hussain.
Yes.
Wonderful program. I'm glad we have someone like Mayor Rose Baraka to deal with this COVID-19. I think it's very important to emphasize the need for our community to really, take this vaccine as you correctly said, because this virus is deadly, and we tend to have the, you know, twice or more the rate of death from this disease of black and brown people, or rather. And so you can't emphasize enough that, you know, the vaccine should be taken. And also that we should not be at the back of the line just to, you know, for this vaccine. We need to, you know, take it, you know, as priority to go get the vaccine.
Right. And let me just say, Dr. Nursan, true to our audience, Dr. Nursan is the chairman of the United Africa Congress, which is an organization that is a charter member of the Pan-African Unity Dialogue. But he is a medical, you are a medical doctor. So it's not just PhD, though you may have one of those too. You're a medical doctor and you've done lots of work. United Africa Congress dealing with the Ebola crisis. You've done a lot of work around the COVID in terms of having seminars and educational programs, because early on, you know, a lot of us had to get together to even persuade people that this was serious. And we still have some people out there that don't think it's serious. So I just wanted to let people know that you're not coming at this from the position of a layperson, but as a physician.
Thank you for that. Yeah.
All right, Dr. Nursan. Thank you so much. Really appreciate your call. Others can call at 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. Schools, should they be open or closed? What are your opinions about that? Or do you have ideas about how to control the pandemic? How will you be celebrating the holidays in a way that are safe? Will you be traveling and ignoring the advice, or are you going to buckle down and sort of ride it out in hopes that there will be a change in the not too distant future? And the whole question of climate change and what it is doing in terms of impacting our situation as well. 212-209-2877. Let's go back to our listening audience. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Yes, hi. Yeah,
I can't hear you. There's something.
Speak up, please.
Hello?
Yeah, we can't hear you. You need to speak into your phone more clearly.
Hello? Can you hear me?
No? Yeah, we can hear you better now.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I think it's important to not take the vaccine unless you know what the ingredients are. So make an effort to find out what they are. We should not be taking anything without knowing what's in it. And most of those ingredients are toxic ingredients. So I would, you know, think it's very, very important. We have to be very careful what we're putting in our body, what we're having someone else put in our body.
Is there a vaccine that you know of that you could, if you describe the various vaccines that are out there, are there some that don't have toxic ingredients in them?
The only one that I have heard of would be a homeopathic vaccine, like which Dr. Kamel Koko would be able to do. But they're pushing us not to take something like that. But that would be a good vaccine. Yes, that'd be great. But I think just to really try to find out what are those ingredients, and that will help people decide whether they want to take it or not.
Right. All right. Well, certainly that's what the mayor of Newark, New Jersey is going to be doing. He's going to be scrutinizing it very carefully. People like Dr. Mohammed Nursan, who just called in, are doing likewise. And as I said before, the Samuel D. Wood Proctor Conference has a biomedical panel of the National Medical Association, the National Association of Black Nurses and Psychiatrists and Psychologists, who similarly will be scrutinizing these vaccines and making recommendations accordingly. Others can call at 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Hello.
Hello. You're on the air.
Yes. Hello. I'm Mitch. I'm calling from Brook. Can you speak on other subjects besides what you put up?
Because well, what I put out was, you can. Okay. I mean, I've talked about a broad series of topics that are really, many of them are COVID related, keeping the schools open. those kind of things. So what is it? What's on your mind?
The Democratic lawmakers introduced a resolution to amend the 13th Amendment to end slavery in prisons. And it was
You said they did?
Yes, they did. Yes.
Which ones? In the state of New York?
It was in the Democratic lawmakers. Let's see, representative.
Would have to be at the federal level if it's going to be a, if it's going to be the 13th Amendment.
Representative Jeffrey Meekley and Representative Lacey Clay of Missouri.
Uh-huh. And,
it was
he's outgoing. He was defeated actually by a woman who was associated with the Movement for Black Lives. He was a former, now deceased William Clay's son. That is a part of our National African Reparations Commission's 10-point program. Says the same thing, that we should clean up the language on the 13th Amendment, because it does have the language in reality, that is not what is driving criminal justice policy per se, but it should be eradicated. The 13th Amendment should not have that language that says except if you're in a condition of enslavement, I mean, imprisonment or so forth and so on, implying that if you are in prison, therefore you are not entitled to benefits and so forth and so on. So it has that symbolic value and should be purged and cleaned up in relationship to the language. Appreciate that call. 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877 is the number to call. We do have some open lines. You can get in pretty quickly now if you call. Let's go to our next caller. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point with the professor. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. You're on the air.
Okay. I wanted to give WBAI some money, but they only take MasterCard and Visa credit cards. I don't have a credit card. They won't take any other kind of money. What's wrong with y'all?
Well, you could send a check.
How would they don't say that on the give to WBAI? Doesn't say that.
Well, if you call, they'll make arrangements. I may be mistaken, but if you call, and I assume, my studio.
I was just about to assist you on that. So, caller, I have mentioned this on the air numerous of times, but I'm more than happy to share the information with you and others who wants to do to send a check or money order to this radio station. And you can do so by writing that check or money order to, and I'll speak slowly, WBAI Pacifica Radio, 388 Atlantic Avenue.
I know where you are. I've been down there.
Yeah. So if you...
Brooklyn Commons building.
Yeah. And
across from Daughtry's Church.
Right. And do you have do you know the rest of the address?
I know how to get there on the subway.
No. But I'm saying you can mail a check or money order to the station directly.
I'm going to come down there in person.
Well, because of COVID-19, we're not allowing anyone else in here except staff.
You can send somebody down to take the envelope from me. I know where you live.
Where you live. That's funny.
But
the point is that because of... Because of the short of staff, there's only really one person that's here generally, and that one person is usually operations, and they are operating, doing the job that I'm doing right now. So it would be best for you to mail a check or money order to the station directly.
And give that address again, would you please? Because others may be listening and want to.
I will most certainly do so. The address is WBAI Pacifica Radio, 388 Atlantic Avenue, 3rd floor, Brooklyn, New York, 11217.
Okay, thank you to our listener. Appreciate your passion and your desire to give. And this is the way to do it. Just write a check and don't even risk going on the subway and all that.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, don't do that. I mean,
absolutely.
You don't have to do that. All right. Thank you so much. Let's see. 212. We got about 5 minutes left. Maybe get two more callers. 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. If the others would like to call, we got, again, we take a couple more calls. We were basically talking about a lot of COVID-related issues.
We do have a call.
This is the dominant issue. Let's go to our listening audience right now. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Good afternoon.
Hello? You're on the air. Speak right up.
Hi, this is Rose in Flemington. I'm enjoying your show today.
And thank you.
I would like to suggest something.
Go right ahead.
We're waiting for the vaccine. Well, in the meantime, we have many wonderful herbs available quite inexpensively, which we can take along with our vitamins, to build our immune systems. So that then when we decide whether we want it from the homeopathic adjunct-free or we want the one that everybody's going to make all the money on, we're in a healthier state overall. These are echinacea, which is the purple cone flower, and the other ones are olive leaf extract and astragalus, which comes from India.
You want to repeat those?
Yes, I will. Okay, first one I mentioned was purple cone flower, grown in the United States. It's called echinacea. I can't spell it for you. E-C-A.
Yeah, I'm familiar with. Yeah, you see that a lot when you go to the the different stores. Yes.
Yeah, echinacea is really wonderful. The second one is olive leaf extract. Pretty simple stuff. And also, the third one is astragalus. That's how it is.
So, I've also heard that zinc is good.
Oh, yeah. You've got to do a complete multi-mineral and multivitamin step up. But in the meantime, we can take care of ourselves, be intelligent, wear our mask, wash our hands, especially with tea tree oil soap, and we're gonna get through this.
Right. By the way, I got to tell you, I was upstairs a few minutes ago, and I was thinking, I have a much healthier appreciation for washing my hands than I did before. I mean, because what they're saying is something as simple as washing your hands frequently for 20 seconds with just plain soap has a devastating impact on this, on these viruses, including this one. So, right, wear the mask. Do the social distances and wash your hands frequently, or you can, of course, use some of the sanitizers. I guess there's a prescription of a certain percentage of alcohol, 70% or more. But anyway, just washing your hands will help. Thanks much. I think we can maybe squeeze in one more caller. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Speak up, caller.
Hi, Professor. How are you?
Good. You have about a minute, so speak quickly.
Okay, this is Tyrone from Virginia. Two things. Absolutely, schools should have been closed and should have been left closed. It would have given people in charge of running schools more time to dedicate their efforts toward the online learning. Secondly, I don't know what's wrong with us as a country, but it only makes sense that we just bear down, stay inside, do everything that the CDC is recommending, and take care of ourselves as a country, period. Thanks.
Right. Okay. Thank you so much. Really appreciate that. There are varying opinions. Some people say the school's for the kids because it's for their own social development and all that. So it's a lot. It's a tough, tough situation, but we're glad to have an opportunity here on WBI to talk about it, to share information. I'm certainly glad to be able to do that by way of Vantage Point. Again, honored to be able to have the Honorable Raz J. Baraka be with us every first Monday of every month. And we'll be doing additional programming down the line. So this is the professor, and the program is Vantage Point. We are on WBAI 99.5 FM on the Pacifica Network, and we broadcast in collaboration with YCRadio.org. Be safe, be disciplined, think about others, have shared values. We are going to get through this together. We'll see you again here on next week on Vantage Point. We gotta fight the